You're listening to English as a Second Language podcast, English Cafe, number 29. You're listening to English as a Second Language podcast, English Cafe, episode 29. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. On today's English Cafe, we'll talk about a new movie, which is becoming very famous here, by the director Spike Lee. We'll talk about how Americans buy their groceries. And as always, we'll answer a few questions. Now let's get started. Before we begin today, I wanted to make a small correction on one of the podcasts from last week in podcast number 155. This was the podcast called A Good Review of a Play, and we were talking about ways of describing good plays and bad plays. And when it's a very bad play, when it's not very successful, it's sometimes called a bomb, B-O-M-B. And I incorrectly said that bomb was an adjective. It, of course, here is a noun, and so I should have said a noun. Michael from Germany reminded me of that, and thank you for your email. Also, before we begin, I'm going to be taking a short vacation at the end of this month of April. However, the ESL podcast will continue as normal. So it will be, you will still get the Monday, Wednesday, Friday podcasts, just as you always do. We may release a couple of them early because I am not sure if I can have access to the internet on my vacation. I'm going to be spending a week in Montreal, Canada, in the province of Quebec, Canada. So if you are listening in Montreal, email me. Maybe we can practice a little English at a cafe in beautiful Montreal, Canada. Going to be there beginning the 25th of April. I thought we'd talk today a little bit about some current movies that are popular in the United States. One of the more popular movies this month is a film by a famous director called Spike Lee. Spike, S-P-I-K-E, Lee, L-E-E, has been around for at least 20 years or so, I think. He has directed several very good films. Probably his most famous movie was called Do the Right Thing. And Do the Right Thing was about black and white people in New York City and how they got along with each other and how they didn't get along with each other. His new movie is called Inside Man, and it is starring Denzel Washington, and Denzel Washington has been in many different movies, a very famous African-American actor. Well, Spike Lee's movie is about a bank heist, and a heist, H-E-I-S-T, is when someone robs or steals money from a bank. That's usually called a heist, when you go to a bank and take out a gun and give the person behind the counter, we would call that person the teller, teller, the teller at the bank, you say, give me, you know, $100,000 or whatever it is. I haven't robbed a bank in many years. And so you give the note to the teller, and this is called a bank heist. It's also called sticking up a bank. A bank stick up, S-T-I-C-U-P, two words. It can also be called a hold up, H-O-L-D-U-P. And it's called a stick up or a hold up because the idea is that if you have a gun, you tell the person to put their hands in the air, put them up, hold them up. And so it's just generally called a hold up or a stick up. Well, this was a movie, as I say, about a bank robbery. And it is a situation where there is a hostage involved, or hostages. And of course, a hostage, H-O-S-T-A-G-E, is like a prisoner that, but it's taken by someone who is not the police. And usually a hostage is used to try to get something back from someone. And in this particular movie, which also stars Jodie Foster, who's another very good actress, and Clive Owen, who's a British actor, the movie takes place in New York City, and there is a masked bandit in the movie. A bandit, B-A-N-D-I-T, is a thief. And a masked bandit, M-A-S-K-E-D, is when you have a mask on that covers your face. Of course, if you are trying to hold up a bank, you probably don't want them to know who you are. And so this is a masked bandit. And anyway, it's a very popular movie, one of the popular movies currently in the United States. Another popular movie currently in the United States is called Ice Age, Ice, I-C-E, Age, A-G-E. And this is actually what we would call a sequel. And a sequel, S-E-Q-U-E-L, is like the second part or the second movie about the same people. So, for example, if you saw Spider-Man 2 is a sequel, or Mission Impossible 2 is a sequel, and Mission Impossible 3 is another sequel. Well, this movie called Ice Age is a sequel, and this is a movie primarily for children. It's a movie, what we would call an animated movie. And an animated movie, A-N-I-M-A-T-E-D, is a movie that is basically a cartoon, and it's often movies intended for children, although sometimes they're both for children and adults. And this is a particular, this particular movie is about fictional, of course, animals who talk back in what we would call prehistoric times. Prehistoric just means before written human history. And the Ice Age was, of course, a period in the history of the Earth. And in any case, it's a very popular movie. It, in fact, made more money the first week it was open than any other movie has in the last couple of months. So a very popular movie. No doubt you will be seeing it in your own country if you live outside the United States very soon. One of the more difficult things when you are trying to understand another country and another language is to know how people do things, the everyday common activities. If you travel, one of the things you notice is not the big differences in terms of language, perhaps, or food, but often there are more common differences between different countries in terms of how they do their daily life. Here in Los Angeles, we're not exactly a typical American city. That is, there are many things that are different about Los Angeles. But one thing I think is very similar to most American cities is the way people do their grocery shopping. Now, groceries, G-R-O-C-E-R-I-E-S, that's the plural, groceries or just grocery shopping, is buying food. And Americans, most all Americans, buy their food at a supermarket. And a supermarket, all one word, is a place that sells different foods. If you walk into an American supermarket, usually you will notice how big it is. It's a very large supermarkets that we have. Many years ago, when I was a child, back before the telephone, I remember going to little grocery stores in our neighborhood, and you could walk a couple of blocks, maybe four or five streets, four or five blocks, and there would be a small grocery store. And these were very popular, and you could buy some things. You could buy milk and meat and certain canned goods. Canned, C-A-N-N-E-D, means things in a can, like soup, for example. And these were very popular. Well, over the last 30 years or so, most of these small stores, or many of them, have disappeared. You don't see them. You will still see them in New York City, in Manhattan in particular, which is the main downtown area of New York City. But in Los Angeles, they're not as common. So now we have these very large supermarkets, and most of them are what we would call chain stores. A chain, C-H-A-I-N, store is a store that is owned by a big company. There are usually several, maybe dozen or hundred of these stores. When you walk into the supermarket, of course, you need to get a shopping cart. And the cart, C-A-R-T, is what you put your food in. In my local supermarket, the bakery section is right when you walk in the door. And of course, the idea is that they want you to buy some of the baked goods, the cookies and that sort of thing, the cakes, before you get to the real food, which are the vegetables and the meat and so forth. But most people go shopping maybe once a week. This means, of course, that the food is not always as fresh as you may want it. In some countries, people go, for example, to a bakery every day and buy bread. But in the United States, it's very rare for people to go to a bakery to buy bread. Most people buy bread in the supermarket, and usually the bread is already cut. We would say the bread is already sliced, S-L-I-C-E-D, to slice means to cut, usually to cut something in a thin piece. So bakeries are common here, but most of them don't make their money selling bread every day. They make their money selling cakes and other sort of cookies and croissants and other things that are popular. Many of the bakeries now, in order to make money, also have become cafes or coffee shops where people can go and eat and drink and read and that sort of thing. Many of the bakeries make most of their money on other things other than typical bread. Similarly, very few people buy their meat at a separate place, what we used to call the butcher's shop. And a butcher, B-U-T-C-H-E-R, is the person that cuts the meat in a store. There are still some independent, individual butcher's stores in the United States. Here in Los Angeles, I used to live near one, but again, not very common. The same is true for fish. People don't buy their fish at a separate store. They usually go to the supermarket. Now, there are actually, in Los Angeles, what we call farmers markets. And a farmer's market, F-A-R-M-E-R, apostrophe S, farmers market, these are places where you can buy vegetables and fruit and usually a few other things from people who grow them or from the farmers themselves. And yes, there are farmers here in California, many farmers. California produces a lot of cheese and fruit and vegetables. And so some of these people come into the city and they sell their fruits and vegetables. Usually it's fresher to get them from the farmer's market, but it's also a little bit more expensive sometimes. These farmer markets move around to different parts of the city on different days. So you will find a farmer's market over here on one day and then in a different place on the next day. I've been to farmers markets a couple of times, and I like going there. The food is often very good, better than what you can buy in the grocery store. But they're still not the most common way that people purchase their food or do their grocery shopping in the United States. Now let's answer a few questions. A question from a listener in Macau. The question has to do with the expression catch 22. What does the expression catch, C-A-T-C-H, and the number 22, what does that mean? Well, the expression comes from a novel that was written by an American author. Joseph Heller is his name, H-E-L-L-E-R, Joseph Heller. And it's a novel about World War II, American participation in the Second World War back in the 1940s. And the expression is somewhat difficult to understand, but you will sometimes see this. Someone might say, that's a catch-22, or he's in a catch-22 situation. The expression means this. The best way to explain it is by giving an example. Let's say that you want to learn a new language. We'll call this language X. And the only way to learn this language is to go to the country where they speak language X, and that is, we'll call it X-LAN. Well, you go and you try to get a visa to go to the country of X-LAN, and they say that, well, you can come to our country, but you have to be able to speak our language, language X. This is what we call a catch-22. In order to learn language X, you have to study it in X-land. But in order to go to X-land, you have to already know language X because you can't get a visa. And so what it is a contradiction. You have two situations that prevent each other from ever taking place. That's called a catch-22. So thank you. I believe that was from Gax, G-A-X, from Macau. Another question we have comes from Alberto in Spain. And Alberto wants to know when he should use can, C-A-N, and when he should use to be able to. Well, that's a good question. It's a difficult question because normally these two expressions can be used, what we would say, interchangeably. That is, you can, where you say can, you could also say able to. I would say that can is more common, however. You will hear people say, are you able to go? It's a little more formal, perhaps. A little more informal would be, can you go? But there isn't any really difference in terms of their meaning. There might be some expressions that people would say can more than able to. But nothing that is very common in terms of the expression. So I wouldn't worry too much about which one you use. You can use either, but can is probably a little bit more common. Josivan, J-O-S-I-V-A-N, in Brazil, wants to know what the expression no longer means. For example, he is here no longer, or he is no longer going to go to school. That means essentially that he is going to stop going to school. The idea is that something was going on in the past, but it is not going to happen in the future. So I am no longer going to talk to my neighbor. I used to talk to him in the past, but in the future, I'm not going to talk to him anymore. I'm not going to talk to him any longer. I am no longer going to talk to him. Those all mean the same thing. So thank you, Josivan from Brazil. Luke, L-U-C, Luke from Belgium, has a question. I talked on a recent English Cafe about the expression using the word period, such as, this is the last time, period. And we talked about the differences between American and British English, where in Britain they would say full stop. The idea is to express the finality of something. When something is final, you've made a decision and you're not going to change it. His question, Luke's question, has to do with the expression the bottom line. Is there a difference between saying period and the bottom line? Well, the expression bottom line comes from accounting, actually, from business. And when you are adding up all of the expenses and all of the income, the money that people give you and the money you have to give other people in a business, at the end, you are either going to have a profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, means you made more money than you spent, you took in more money than you spent, or you're going to have a loss, which means that you spent more money than you earned or that you took in. Well, the bottom line is literally, actually, the last line in this list, and it says whether you made money or didn't make money. Now, that's where the expression comes from originally. Now, people use it in a much more general way. They may say, for example, the bottom line is you are not going to get the job. Here's when we use this expression. When we've been talking about, for example, a problem or an issue, and you've been giving someone many reasons for why this situation is happening, and finally you want to sort of end the conversation, or you want to say that talking about it further will not make a difference, we will sometimes say, the bottom line is, I'm not going, or the bottom line is, he's an idiot. That's a very similar type of expression to he's an idiot, period. I would say that the bottom line is more used in business situations than the word period. If you say to someone, I'm not going, period, has some negative implications, some negative connotation or meaning. You only want to say that to someone that you probably know very well. In a business setting, that would be probably not a good thing to say. I am not going to pay any more money, period. The bottom line is a much more neutral expression. It doesn't have that negative meaning to it. And so we would probably use the bottom line for more circumstances, particularly since it's considered, I think, a little bit more polite than if you said, period. Also, the bottom line is the subject usually of the sentence. It's not something that you put at the end of the sentence. So, for example, when I say, I'm not going, period, the word period comes at the end of the sentence. But if you're going to use bottom line, you cannot say, I'm not going, the bottom line. That is not correct. You would have to say, the bottom line is, I'm not going. So thank you, Luke, for that question. A question from Salvador in Mexico City. Salvador wants to know what the expression freak on a leash means. Well, that's a good question. A freak, F-R-E-A-K, is a weird or strange person, often somebody who looks different. There may be something wrong with their body, and it's not a nice word. When you say someone is a freak, you mean that they're weird, they're strange, but it's an insulting term. A leash, L-E-A-S-H, is what you would use, for example, with a dog. It's a rope that goes around his neck, the neck, what we would call a collar, C-O-L-L-A-R. That's the part of the leash that goes around the neck. And then you have a rope that connects to the collar so you can control the dog. So we put these two things together. A freak on a leash would be somebody who perhaps was in the circus, the old circus, that they would, where they would have people who were perhaps look strangely or were dressed up to look strangely, and that they were considered almost animals, and so to have them on a leash, like a dog, would be to show them to other people, as if they were animals. Well, The expression freak on a leash is famous because it's the name of a song by a rock group called Korn, which is spelled K-O-R-N. I know, Korn is normally C-O-R-N, but this is a rock and roll band, so they can spell their name however they want. And many people think the song is about the band itself being under a very difficult contract or agreement with their record company, and they don't have freedom, and so they're on a leash. In general, when you say, he has her on a leash, or she has him on a leash, we mean that they are being controlled by that person, usually because that they believe that the person who is on the leash will do something wrong, will misbehave, will act incorrectly somehow, or do something wrong. There's also an expression to keep someone on a short leash, and that means again, to keep them under your control, to watch them, to make sure they don't do anything wrong. So that's the meaning of freak on a leash. The word freak, F-R-E-A-K, can mean other things. It can mean as a verb to scare someone or to make them feel very strange. Someone might say, I freaked, means I panicked, I lost control, I didn't know what I was doing. So thank you for that question, Salvador. Remember to visit our website at www.eslpod.com for more information about this podcast. That's all we have time for today. Thank you, as always, for listening. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Jeff McQuillan. We'll see you next time on the English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan. This podcast is copyright 2006 by the Center for Educational Development.